an Osho talk. Turning In, number 6.
Hakuin said, "My humble advice to you distinguished persons who study the profound mystery of the Buddha Dharma is this. Your close examination of yourself must be as urgent as saving your own head were it ablaze. Your efforts to penetrate into your own original nature must be as tireless as the pursuit of an indispensable thing. Your attitude toward the verbal teachings of the Buddhas and patriarchs must be as hostile as that toward a deadly enemy. In Zen, he who does not bring strong doubt to bear upon the koans is a dissolute, knavish good-for-nothing. Therefore it is said, underlying great doubt, there is great satori. Where there is thorough questioning, there will be a thoroughgoing experience of awakening. Do not say, since my thoughts are always flying about in confusion, I lack the power to apply myself to genuine concentration on my koan. Suppose that, among the dense crowd of people in the hurly-burly of the marketplace, a man accidentally loses two or three pieces of gold. You'll never find anyone who, because the place is noisy and bustling, or because he has dropped his pieces of gold in the dirt, will not turn back to look for them. He pushes any number of people about, stirs up a lot of dust, and weeping copious tears, rushes around searching for his gold. If he doesn't get it back into his own two hands, he will never regain his peace of mind. Do you consider the priceless jewel worn in the hair, your own inherent marvelous Tao, of less value than two or three pieces of gold?"
Manisha, Zen is the only revolutionary religion in the world. All the religions are traditional, orthodox, superstitious, fundamentally based on belief. Any religion that is based on belief is a fiction, because belief simply means a repressed doubt. Zen is an exception. It does not believe in anything, not even in the scriptures, not even in the sutras of Gautam Buddha. Belief as such is denied completely, and I agree with it without any condition. That has been my own whole approach. Truth has to be experienced, not believed. Once you believe in it, you will never experience it. Truth has to be searched for. Out of necessity, you have to doubt all the theories and ideologies propounded by the scriptures and others. If you don't doubt them, you will be in a sheer confusion. If you believe in them, you will stop there at your belief. Your God will be a belief, not a truth. Your own very self will be just a belief, not something that you have lived, not something that you have danced, not something that you have touched. All beliefs take you away from yourself. To find out the truth, one has to learn the art of disbelief. Hence, Zen has a very special position, because atheists also disbelieve, but they stop at their disbelief just as theists stop at their belief. The atheist disbelief is only negative belief. It is nothing different. When Zen talks of disbelief or doubt, it simply means a challenge to explore. Not to settle at it, but to begin from there. You have discarded and eliminated all beliefs, all disbeliefs. Then your pure consciousness asserts itself on its own accord. And the beauty of spontaneous flowering is the only beauty in the world. Hakuin says, and Hakuin is one of the masters to be listened very carefully. Hakuin says, my humble advice to you distinguished persons who study the profound mystery of the Buddha Dharma is this: your close examination of yourself must be as urgent as saving your own head were at ablaze. He is saying your inquiry should be so intense and total, as if it is a question of life and death. If you don't find it, your life is futile and fruitless. Unless you find it, you cannot blossom and dance and sing in joy. There will not be any rejoicing, any celebration, any festivity in your life, your life will be a dark, unending night where sun never arises. Your efforts to penetrate into your own original nature must be as tireless as the pursuit of an independent, indispensable thing. Your attitude toward the verbal teachings of the Buddhas and patriarchs must be as hostile as that toward a deadly enemy. This can be said only by a great master, a Buddha himself. He is saying that your attitude towards the verbal teachings of the Buddhas and the great masters must be as hostile as that toward a deadly enemy. The implication is, don't believe in the world. Look for the experience. The world may be coming from the greatest master, still it is a bird. And howsoever Buddha may have found himself, his nourishment is not going to be your nourishment. If he has quenched his thirst, all that he can say, that water has helped me to quench my thirst. You can go on repeating as a mantra, H2O, but your thirst will not be quenched. Zen says that think of all the great words and great teachings as your deadly enemy. Avoid them, because you have to find your own source. You are not to be a follower, an imitator. You have to be an original individual. You have to find your innermost core on your own. No guide, no guiding scriptures, a dark night, but with an intense fire of inquiry, you are bound to come to the sunrise. Everybody who has burnt with intense inquiry has found the sunrise. Others only believe. Those who believe are not religious. They are simply avoiding the great adventure of religion by believing. In Zen, he who does not bring strong doubt to bear upon the koans is a dissolute, novice, good-looking, good-for-nothing. Therefore, it is said, underlying great doubt, there is great satori. Where there is thorough questioning, there will be thoroughgoing experience of awakening. This is a unique quality of Zen. It says that hidden behind a great doubt is your satori, your enlightenment. What exactly doubt is? Doubt is eliminating anything that is borrowed. It is not saying that it is not true. It is saying that it is not my truth. And unless anything is my truth, I am not going to discontinue my search. Doubt means a great love for truth which never compromises for any cheap belief which are available in the marketplace, in every temple, in every church, in every synagogue. All the religions are telling you just to believe, and you will be saved. And this is pure nonsense, because millions of people have believed and nobody seems to be saved. Millions of people are believing today, but the world is a mess. Their belief does not change the world. Their belief does not change themselves. Their belief makes no difference at all in their character. It does only one thing. It functions as an umbrella. It keeps them hiding a great inquiry that is our basic right. They go on repressing the inquiry by belief, that what is the point for you to know the truth? Krishna has known it. Just read Srimad Bhagavad Gita every day, and that's all. Why should you bother to inquire yourself? Buddha has found it, and he has told it. Now there is no need for you to find it again. That is what belief means. It takes your individual inquiry away from you. But remember, with the inquiry gone, the individuality is also gone. All the religions together have conspired to take the dignity of man, because they have taken their individuality. They have made them a crowd of believers. Zen wants you to be an individual seeker. Throw away all the scriptures. Burn all the scriptures. Never take anybody's word as your truth. It is a great challenge, and it needs strength, it needs integrity, it needs a love for truth at any cost. Only those who gamble everything for truth are the blessed ones. The world of religion is not the world of the businessman. It is the world of the gambler, who risks everything about the unknown. He does not know what is going to happen. I have reminded a Japanese actor earned much money in Hollywood. And after earning much money, he thought to go back home and relax. Enough is enough. There is no point to go on earning. A little time before death knocks on the doors, it will be good to rest. But before coming to Japan, he thought he should go around the world to have a look before he settles in Japan. He went to Paris and in a gambling place, he risked everything that he has earned. Millions of dollars, just in one go. Even the owner trembling, every gambler perspiring. My God, what kind of man? He did not save a single dollar. He put everything and lost and went into his room and went to sleep. Next morning in the newspapers there was a news that a Japanese has jumped from a 7th floor building and has killed himself. In the hotel, everybody thought it must be that Japanese who risked everything. But in our hotel, there are not 7 stories. And he has gone to his bed. So they went and knocked on the bed. On the door, the man opened his eyes. Those people were shocked seeing him. He was perfectly alive. They said, "Have you seen the morning newspaper?" He said, "Yes. I see some Japanese has committed suicide from a 7th floor. And I know you all will think I am going to commit suicide. I am not the one to accept defeat. I will earn money again and I will come to this hotel to put as much money more than this time." And he went back to Hollywood. when he came back after earning enough money, more than the first time, the gambling place closed. It was too risky. The man said, "What is the matter? Just a day before you were open, and now you are closed." They said, "You can gamble somewhere else. There are many gambling places in Paris. But don't frighten us. You are a man of strange steel. A man who can gamble everything for the unknown result. That's exactly the situation of a religious man. You are renouncing all the scriptures and all the great master's words, and you are going into your own inner world without any guide, without any map, without any companion, alone, on a path never walked by anybody. Your inner path is your path. Nobody can walk on it. But if one can doubt totally, denying all that is not his own, creates an immense purity and creates a great power, gives tremendous freedom, which are absolutely necessary to inquire into your own being, what is there. Nobody can say it. Only you have to go there. And only you can go there. Haikun is saying, there will be thorough going of awakening where there is thorough going questioning. Go on question everything that religions have been told you to believe. Belief is the greatest barrier to the religious man. But just the contrary has been preached. Faith, belief are praised by all religions. And the world that we see is the result of this stupid teaching of believing and having faith. Out of 1,000 years of believing, what have you gained? Where are you? The world has never been in a more mess than it is today. If you want to get out of the mess, please throw out all that you have believed up to now. Be utterly naked of belief, and the truth is not very far away. Just turn in and it is there. It does not come by faith, it comes by turning in. Faith is outside, belief is outside, only turning in brings a transformation in being. Do not say, since my thoughts are always flying about in confusion, I lack the power to apply myself to genuine concentration on my koan. Suppose that among the dense crowd of people in the hurly-burly of the marketplace, a man accidentally loses 2 or 3 pieces of gold. You will never find anyone who, because the place is noisy and bustling, or because he has dropped his pieces of gold in the dirt, will not turn back to look for them. He pushes any number of people about, stirs up a lot of dust, and weeping copious tears, rushing around searching for his gold. If he does not get it back into his own 2 hands, he will never regain his peace of mind. Hawkins is saying that even 2 or 3 pieces of gold make you to look for them, but you don't know what a treasure is hidden inside you, what a splendor you are carrying. Do you consider the priceless jewel worn in the hair, your own inherent marvelous Tao, of less value than 2 or 3 pieces of gold? You never bother who is hidden inside you, what is the source of your being. Those who have known the source, they are unanimously in agreement that it is the most precious experience that can happen in this world, the most universal, which gives you a deathlessness and which gives your life a tremendous freshness, and in each moment a radiance, a grace, a beauty. Your whole life becomes a celebration. And this is something that nobody can steal away. This is something that nobody can destroy. Even death is incapable even to touch it. It is your eternal treasure. From eternity to eternity, it is yours, but you never look at it. Dangai wrote, earth, river, mountain, snowflakes melt in air. How could I have doubted? Where is north, south, east, west? Once you know doubt commits suicide on its own account. Never believe, let the doubt die. That is a totally different situation. When you believe, doubt remains alive. In fact, very forcibly alive. One Christian missionary, Stanley Jones, told me that my faith in Jesus Christ is absolute. I said, you simply analyze your own statement. Is not faith enough? Has it to be absolute? What is the purpose of the word absolute? Faith is enough if it is there, but it is not there. Just by the side of faith, disbelief, unfaith, doubt, all are there. To cover them up, you have to bring a bigger umbrella. Absolute faith simply shows that your doubt is very great. Ordinary people have small doubts, so their faith is small. You are a learned scholar, a world-famous scholar. Naturally, your doubt is going to be very great. He said, I have never looked from this angle, but perhaps you are right. He was a very honest man. He said, I will have to think over it. When somebody says to somebody, I love you absolutely, then you have to be aware. Don't get caught into absolute love affair. Just temporary is good. Absolute is going to be a constant murder. The real lovers don't even say, I love you. They will not use the word love for their great experience. The word is very small and too many times used. It has lost the freshness. It is my experience that when love starts disappearing, people start telling each other, I love you very much. It is only when love starts disappearing, when they become aware that love is no more there, now only words can continue the misery that they used to call love. Now they have to repeat continuously. But if you know, and the moment you have dropped all belief, including disbelief, when your doubt is total, suddenly there is an explosion. As if the fire of your being, which was hidden, has come to its full-fledged form. Its flames are even reaching out of you. You are on fire. In that case, there is no question of doubt and there is no question of belief. You simply know. Once a Western journalist asked Sri Aurobindo, "Do you believe in God?" A very common question. Sri Aurobindo said, "No." The man was very much puzzled. He had come to see him from far away just because he has heard that this man is a man of God. But the journalist was not going to leave Sri Aurobindo at that. He asked, "What do you mean by saying no?" Aurobindo said, "When one knows something, one does not believe. Do you believe in the sun? Do you believe in the starry night? Do you believe in the roses? You see, they are there. There is no question of belief. Belief arises only in the darkness when you don't know. And belief keeps you in darkness because of belief you never try to discover on your own what is the truth. A haiku, butterflies setting out to cross the sea, have disappeared. Myself comes back to me. He's saying all our thoughts are nothing but butterflies trying to cross the sea. They will disappear somewhere. Have you watched your thoughts? If you have lived 50 years or 40 years, how many million thoughts have crossed the sea and disappeared? Every day, you go on creating new thoughts and they go on disappearing into the dust. But only one thing remains with you, and that is your emptiness. Only you remain. As a Zen poet has said, "Clouds come and go, and the sky remains. It never goes anywhere, it never comes from anywhere. You are the sky. Anything that happens in this sky is just a traffic. no need to be concerned about it, no need to be identified with it. Manisha has asked a question, I have understood you to encourage us to keep the ability to doubt always alive. Is there no point at which doubt is no longer needed, a point when it is no longer helpful? Yes, there comes a point when you know the truth. Doubt simply dies. It is no more useful, no more helpful. It is just a shadow that disappears, like you bring the light in the house and all darkness disappears. Doubt is part of the dark night. It is useful when the night is there to give you an impetus, a persistence, a perseverance to search for the rising sun. But once you have reached to the rising sun, the darkness disappears and with it the doubt too. Now, few things really serious. Zebrisky and Klopsky are sitting around the smoking Senorita pub, enjoying a few beers. "Hey," says Zebrisky, "you won't believe it, but I came home last night and found my wife sprawled on the couch making love to some other guy." "Really?" coughs Klopsky. "I hope you knew how to handle it." "I sure did," exclaimed Zebrisky. "I fixed them, turned out the lights so they could not see what they were doing." Little Arni is studying the properties of electricity in his class. We are going to learn about some of the practical uses of electricity, says Miss Goodbar. "So tomorrow I want everyone to bring some electric tool to show us. The next day there is much excitement as the kids bring their electric bulbs, hair dryers, irons and all kinds of things. When Arni arrives, he is sweating and carrying a huge artificial lung on his back." "Ernest," says a surprised Miss Goodbody, "where in heaven's name did you get that electric lung?" "I took it from Grandpa." said Arni is smiling. And he did not mind. Cries, Miss Goodbody, I don't think so, teacher. Replies Arni, he just said, on a left Hansa flight from Berlin to New York, we find Harry Jablonski sitting next to a beautiful young woman. Hello, says Harry, casually eyeing the pretty girl. Are you German? Yeah, says the girl. How nice, says Harry, his eyes twitching slightly. May I ask your name? Yeah. Okay. She replies, my name is Hilda Brombeck. Well, hello, Hilda. Harry says, loosening his tie. Is this your first trip to New York? Yeah, it is. Replies Hilda, I am going on business. Really? Inquires Harry, may I ask what kind of business? Yeah, sure. Says Hilda, I am going to the International Congress of Nymphomania. Really? Exclaims Harry, beginning to perspire. Ah, that is fascinating. May I ask, what do you do at this Congress? Yeah, says Hilda. We discuss important issues like which men have the longest, hardest pricks and which men can screw for the longest time. Things like that. Really? He squeaks, Harry, taking off his coat. May I ask which men do have the longest pricks? Yeah, says Hilda. Those sweet Jewish men have those long pricks. Really? Splutters Harry. And may I ask which ones can screw the longest time? Yeah, sure, replies the beautiful girl. It is the American Indians who give the longest screw. Really, cries Harry, grabbing off his glasses. Yeah, smiles Hilda. And by the way, she continues, you have not told me your name. Ah, my name, gasped Harry, his eyes bulging out. My name is Running Bear Goldstein. be silent. Close your eyes. Feel your body to be frozen. Gather all your life energy like an arrow, going deeper and deeper into your being, to the very roots. Here is the source not only of your life, but all life. Here are the roots connecting you with the universal source of life. In this space, you are the original man. In this space, you are the Buddha. This is your home. You can go out, but never forget the home. This is your nourishment, your consciousness, your very life energy. Keep it pure and flowing. And this will change your character, your lifestyle, your actions. It will bring grace and compassion and love. Just as flowers come to the rose bush, anything that comes out of this space is yours. It will make you feel independent, individual, on your own. No question of doubt or faith, you know it. Nivedano, relax. Just to make it clear that the body is lying, the head is lying, and you are simply watching. Just be a watcher, a witness. This is the greatest miracle in the world, to be a witness. you can remain a witness 24 hours, doing all kinds of things. You can also remain watchful, alert, aware. The day you are 24 hours aware without any effort, spontaneously, naturally, you have come home. You have become a Buddha, which was your destiny. Right now you are only a seed, a bodhisattva. When the seed comes to become a flower, the bodhisattva transforms itself into a Buddha. It is all your potentiality. You don't have to seek it anywhere else. I call it the miracle because we are searching everywhere. Just 2 or 3 gold coins and an eternal treasure is available to us, the whole gold mine. Every one of you is a splendor, a majesty. A magic. A miracle. Just if you can remember your Buddhahood, the journey is complete. Nivedana, come back, all the Buddhas, slowly, silently, gracefully, remembering the experience and the space you have been in. Sit down for a few moments. Just being a Buddha. A pure sky, a silent lake, an empty mirror. Can we celebrate the gathering of the Buddhas?
Yes.